And just one verse tonight here in Proverbs chapter 25, that's the 12th verse. So let's all read together on Proverbs chapter 25 and verse number 12. As an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. And Father, again, thank you for your precious word. Open our eyes and our hearts, Lord, that we'd receive what you have for us. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.
Tonight I want to bring a Bible study simply entitled, A Thing of Beauty. A Thing of Beauty. Perhaps Solomon's lesson was so that his son Rehoboam, the next king of Israel, as you know, he would learn the beauty of being an obedient and an attentive student. You know, that's something missing in much of Christianity today is attentiveness and willingness, obedience to the Word of God. It goes in one ear and out the other with so many. But Solomon wanted his boy to learn how to be a good listener and how to be obedient to what he heard. And I think that's a great lesson for us. So the question I want to ask my church family tonight, are you teachable? I've said to folks who come in and see me for counsel or if there's a problem of some kind, the first question I ask them, I will say, are you teachable? And anything other than a resounding yes, there's not going to be any counsel going on. If they're not teachable, I'm not going to waste my breath because counsel is supposed to help people. And if people are not willing to listen, that's a whole other problem. How do you take reproof? We're going to look at these words tonight. How do you personally receive reproof? Verse 12 speaks of a wise reprover. Very interesting phraseology that is used in the Bible. First of all, what is a reprover? You're going to want to write this down, I think. It means literally, quote, one who directly sets straight that which is in error. A reprover is one who directly sets straight that which is in error. And the word can be divided in half, not in half, obviously, but you can divide the word. First of all, the word re, and that means again. So reproof is something that is done again. And the word prove means to establish the truth or validity of something by presentation of argument or evidence. Let me say that again because I don't want you to catch what it's saying. A reprover is one who establishes the truth or the validity of something by presentation of argument of evidence. And so we have here a wise reprover. He's going after someone who is in error and wanting to correct that. And there are 9 verses in the book of Proverbs which use the exact same word as reprover. I'm going to read all those to you tonight, and I'm going to emphasize the words in those verses where the same word is used. When I say the same word, I'm talking about the same Hebrew word. It may be translated as a different English word. And the reason for that is God is wise in the translation and in the preservation of Scripture that He emphasizes something He wants emphasized by the words that He uses. Okay, you don't have to turn there, but you can write them down because I'm going to go through them. Proverbs 3 and verse 12. For whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth. That's the same word for reproving. Even as a father, a son in whom He delighteth. Proverbs 9 and verse 7, he that reproveth a scorner getteth to himself shame, and he that rebuketh a wicked man getteth himself a blot. The word rebuketh in that verse is the same word. Proverbs 9 and verse 8, the Bible says, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. There we have the word reprove and rebuke, the same word. Proverbs 15 and verse 12, a scorner loveth not one that reproveth him, neither will he go unto the wise. The word reproveth there. Proverbs 19 and verse 25, it says, smite a scorner, and the simple will beware, and reprove one that hath understanding, and he will understand knowledge. The word reprove there. And then Proverbs 24 and verse 25, but to them that rebuke him shall be delight, and a good blessing shall come upon them. It's the word rebuke there. And then 25 in verse 12, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. That's our text verse tonight. in Proverbs 28 and verse 23, he that rebuketh a man afterward shall find more favor than he that flattereth with the tongue. The word rebuketh there. And then one final one in the book of Proverbs. This is not all the times it's used in the Old Testament, just in the book of Proverbs. You can do your own study and find the rest of them if you would like. Proverbs 30 and verse 6, add thou not to his words, lest he reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. And there the word, of course, is reprove thee, showing that you're in error. A wise reprover can be like, the Bible says here in verse, in our passage, in our opening passage, is be like a graceful ornament of gold on the ear of an obedient listener. We're talking about something that's a wonderful ornament, a thing of beauty, you see. And ever so often, even the best Christians need to be reproved. And believe it or not, even you and even me, we can all be wrong on occasion, and we need to be reproved. If we're going to get better, if we're going to learn, we need to be shown where we are in error and believe what the Word of God says through a wise reprover. That's what we're talking about tonight, a wise reprover. On occasion, God will send a wise reprover to show us the error of our ways. And when God does that, and he sends one your way, will he be greeted with an obedient ear? You see, that's what Solomon is teaching his son. You're going to end up being wrong sometime, and you're going to have to be teachable. Are you going to greet that wise reprover with an open ear? And if so, the wise reprover becomes a thing of beauty to the one who's in error. I remember a pastor friend of mine here in Colorado. He had written a book, and in that book there was an error, and it was an error that he believed as a doctrinal truth. I was sitting in his office, and I said to him one day, I said, "Do you really believe that?" And he paused, and he said, "Yes." And then I showed him how biblically he was in error. Now, here's what I did. I thought I lost him as a friend. I really did. Because there was really no interaction after that. I mean, I reproved him kindly. And as a friend and as a loving friend, I reproved him. And I really thought that I had lost him as a friend until a long time later, we were chatting on the phone and I said, "Is there a problem between you and me?" I said, "Because of what we talked about in your office about that doctrine in your book." And he said, "Oh, goodness, no." He said, "I changed right there on the spot." He said, "I fixed it." He said, I don't believe that anymore. I believe what you taught me." And I thought, you know, I was trying to be a wise reprover, but he was being one with an obedient ear. And my words to him became as a gold ornament, something beautiful, a thing of beauty for him. And I'm very thankful that he and I are still good friends, and I appreciate that very much. So, are there wise reprovers given in the Bible? You're going to use your Bible tonight, so don't put it away. But I want to give you a few wise reprovers if I can. And I've got them enumerated. Number one of my favorite Bible characters I want to give you tonight. His name is Elihu. Or I think sometimes he's pronounced Elihu, but it doesn't really matter. I've always called him Elihu, all righty? And he was Job's wise reprover. If you have your Bible there, go to Job 32, verses 1 and 2. I like what Mick Jackson said to me one time. He said, "Who told us how to pronounce these different words in the Bible?" He said, "Job is spelt Job." And today when I was going over my notes for tonight, and I was having the computer read my outline to me, and every time it mentioned Job, it was Job, of all things. And I said, "That's just the way that it is. His name is Job and not Job." So Job 32, verses 1 and 2, and again, Elihu is my favorite, one of my favorite Bible characters, it said, "So these three men ceased to answer Job." Now, who were these three men? We call them Job's friends, okay? They came down and during his great time of loss, sat with him quietly for 7 days, and then they spoke to him and rebuked him. And Job, really, they let him have it pretty much. And in some ways, he deserved it. But Elihu sat quietly. Very interesting. And it says, "So then these three men ceased to answer Job because he was righteous in his own eyes. Then was kindled the wrath of Elihu, the son of Becharel, the Buzite, It says, of the kindred of Ram, against Job was his wrath kindled because he justified himself rather than God. Elihu kept his mouth shut until these three friends were done, and then when Job was done. It's only an amazing, and after Elihu, by the way, if you were to go and read the rest of the book, you find out that after Elihu got done with Job, then God laid in on Job for a while and corrected Job. Now, Job, according to God, was perfect and upright in every way. That does not mean that he was sinless, but he lived in the fear of God. And the Bible says that he eschewed evil. And what that means is that means that he ran from evil. Eschewed, the best way that I can describe it is that evil saw elbows and heels because Job was running from it. All right? And Job was the best Christian on the face of the earth at that time. And because of that, I believe he became Satan's target of all things. And God asked the devil, he said, "Hast thou considered my servant Job?" And Lucifer said that he believed that he could get him to fall. Very amazing story in the Bible. Many people love the story of Job, but many people don't get past some of the story of Job. Job stood better than most would ever stand in the face of adversity. We understand that. I mean, he lost his children, he lost his cattle, he lost his buildings, he lost his servants, he lost so many things, and he did real good. But Elihu said, "You justified yourself instead of the Lord." And the Bible says that he was righteous in his own eyes. And who would help Job now that he had become prideful? Well, the Lord sent a wise reprover to Job. And I want you to understand something. The wise reprover was not his three friends. They were not his three friends. The wise reprover was one man by the name of Elihu. And now we're in Job chapter 33. I want to read verses 1 through 13, and let me show you what was said by the wise reprover. It says, "Wherefore, Job, I pray thee, hear my speeches, and hearken to all my words. Behold, now I have opened my mouth, my tongue hath spoken in my mouth. My words shall be of the uprightness of my heart, and my lips shall utter knowledge clearly. The Spirit of God." Now, your Bible should have a capital S on Spirit. If it doesn't, write a capital S in there, because it's supposed to be the Spirit of God, "hath made me, and the breath of the Almighty hath given me life. If thou canst answer me, set thy words in order before me. Stand up, behold, I am according to thy wish in God's stead. I also am formed of the clay. Behold, my terror shall not make thee afraid, neither shall my hand be heavy upon thee. Surely thou hast spoken in mine hearing, and I have heard the voice of thy word, saying, I am clean without transgression. I am innocent, neither is there iniquity in me. Behold, he findeth occasion against me. He counteth me for his enemy. He putteth my feet in the stocks. He maketh all my paths. Marketh all my paths. Behold, in this thou art not just. I will answer thee that God is greater than man. Why dost thou strive against him? For he giveth not account of any of his matters." Amazing. How would you like to have somebody say something like that to you? Job received Elihu's reproof, and the Bible does not say that he did it joyfully, nor does it say that he did it begrudgingly. And the end result is found in Job chapter 42 and verse 10. I'm going to read it, where it says, "And the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends. Also the Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before." Elihu's wise reproof was the thing of beauty in Job's obedient ear. Did he listen to his three friends? He heard them. Did he listen to Elihu? You better believe he did. And he changed his ways. He had a wise reprover. And the end of Job was much better than what we read about the rest of Job. There is another reprover in the Bible, a wise reprover, and you know the story. Nathan was David's wise reprover. The prophet Nathan. 2 Samuel chapter 12, I'm going to read verses 1 through 7. You can write down the reference or you can turn there, 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 7. "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David." Now that's interesting. It doesn't say Nathan showed up on his own. It says the Lord sent him. See, David needed this. says, "And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came to him and said unto him, There were two men in one city, and the one rich and the other poor. The rich man was exceeding many flocks and herds, and the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in his bosom and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. I can just see this happening. And he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity. And Nathan said to David, Thou art the man. Wow. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. David, in his pride, decided that he was going to stay home from the battle, and did. And he also simply decided to steal his neighbor's wife, Bathsheba, while her husband was gone to war. And as king, perhaps he thought that he could get away with it, and he did get away with it for a while. But I want you to notice what the Bible says in 2 Samuel 12 and verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David. Wow. You realize how important that phraseology is? God sent Nathan to David. And Nathan told David a story about a man who'd stole a poor man's sheep. And David became so angry, he said, As the Lord liveth, that man shall pay fourfold for what he's done. By the way, if you were to follow David's life, he did pay fourfold for what he did. We won't go into any of that tonight, but he did pay fourfold for what he did with Bathsheba. I don't think David was expecting what happened next, but Nathan's index finger grew about 6 feet long, stuck it in David's face, and he said, Thou art the man. Wow, what an incredibly powerful, powerful message this is. How did David take that wise reproof? Well, he became repentant and he became broken. And if you want to read how broken he got, and by the way, Psalm 32 and Psalm 51, those are the two repentant psalms that David wrote after what he did with Bathsheba and after Nathan approached him. Both of these psalms are psalms of wanting restoration. When you read in Psalm 51, there were 12 areas where David lost credibility, and he wanted God to restore it. He wanted to be restored from his sin of adultery, his sin of having Uriah murdered in battle, sent him to the front of the line. The rest of the army stood back, and he was there, and he got killed, trying to cover up his sin. But God knew, and Nathan said, Thou art the man. Nathan's wise reproof was a thing of beauty to David's obedient ear. And then one last illustration, I want to give you this, and that would be number 3, Jonah was Nineveh's wise reprover. Jonah was Nineveh's wise reprover. Jonah chapter 3, beginning in verse 1 and reading down through verse 4, it says, And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, and of course, this is the verse that we all use about God being a God of a second chance. Amen for the God of a second chance. And all God's people said, Amen for that. And so it says here the second time, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, Yet 40 days Nineveh shall be overthrown. That was a very short sermon. And even though Jonah rebelled against the word of the Lord the first time, he obeyed the second time, telling the people of the Nineveh that if they didn't get right with God and turn to the Lord, they were going to be destroyed. if they did not repent. And Jonah had a bad attitude, but he was still a wise reprover because of this. Look what it says. Jonah chapter 3, verse 5 and verse 10. You have your Bible there. So the people of Nineveh believed God. Now, how do they believe God? Because Jonah was sent to them. Okay? God did not boom a voice out of heaven and say, all right, you bunch of Ninevites down there, that the wickedness that you're living in. He didn't do that. He sent a man. And the man that he sent was the name of Jonah. And it says, so the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. Now jump down to verse 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and did it not. The wise reprover, Jonah, brought the word of the Lord to a people who needed convincing that they had to change their evil ways. No, God didn't speak out of heaven. It wasn't like a burning bush where God spoke directly to Moses. It wasn't anything like that. No, he sent a man. And he said, hey, you preach this to those people. This is the word of the Lord. And he did. Some have said that the revival in Nineveh was the greatest revival that the world had ever seen. It was because the wise reprover had brought the word of the Lord to a people who needed to change, and they did so. Amazing story. Jonah's wise reproof became a thing of beauty on Nineveh's obedient ears. Say, how long were they obedient? Oh, maybe 100 or a little better years, and they went right back and God destroyed them then. But at this time, God had mercy. Jonah's wise reproof was a thing of beauty. A wise reprover is obviously not the one who simply offers an opinion when an opinion is needed. A wise reprover is one who speaks the word of the Lord to those who need to be convinced otherwise. That's why 2 Timothy 3:16, did you know that's still in the Bible? And it says this, all scripture, not all that is scripture, as some new Bible critics have said, because they say that not everything in the Bible is scripture. No, the Bible says here, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable, first of all, for doctrine, but notice secondly, for reproof, and thirdly, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Oh, hi, it's, why? Because God's word is powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. And it can divide asunder soul and spirit. I mean, God knows our motivation for everything. And the word of God is what is to be used in our lives. It can change us. But we have to be wise listeners, you see. Obedient ears to what God gives us. I think about these three things and I'll quit. A prophet by the name of Agabus reproved Paul of his stubborn ways. Paul didn't listen. He went to prison for it. And of course, like I said, Paul was warned five times that he, at that time, should not go to Jerusalem. He said, I'm going to go anyway. And God says, well, if you go, this is what's going to happen. And he did, and that's exactly what happened. Noah reproved the people of his day of their wickedness, but they wouldn't listen, and they died in their disobedience. And many believers today are reproved for the error of their ways, and many choose not to listen, and they end up paying dearly for their stubbornness. So I guess my question is, because this is one of those Bible studies to where God, I believe, is wanting each one of us to have, I think have is not the right word. He wants us to be receiving and welcoming of a wise reprover. When we need to be corrected and we need to be changed, we need to have those kind of ears. So what kind of a Christian are we? Are we one who can be reproved, and are we one who can be corrected when we are in error? And if you have an attentive ear to the God-sent reprover, he will become a thing of beauty instead of a threat to your freedom. And I use those words tonight specifically. If we have obedient ears to the wise reprover that God sends our way, he will become a thing of beauty instead of a threat to our lives.